Jerry Doyle Show.
General Motors. Now on its own, now that we the taxpayers got hosed to the tune of $10.5 billion, selling off the remaining 31.1 million shares of GM this week, is naming a new CEO. And for the first time in the history of the male-dominated world of automobile manufacturing, a woman is going to be the chief executive officer of General Motors. Mary Barra is her name. Now, some people say this is a great move. Some people say about time, and some people say stunt casting, of which casting is known by our guest Anita Findlay. She's an actress. You know her from her work on 24, The Young and the Restless. She played Dr. Nora Thompson, many, many other roles. She's an author. Her book is Dirty Words on Clean Skin, which spent 16 weeks in the number one position on Amazon's Women in Politics list. She's a blogger. She's an EpicTimes.com contributor. She's a self-avowed feminist, a former Democrat, now independent, and a really cool chick. Anita Findlay, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Jerry. How are you today?
Another day in paradise, except I'm here.
Hey, you're here today, and we're happy to have you. How about that?
Always good to be wherever I am. That means the grass is below my feet.
That's exactly right.
Right?
There's an old saying from the Three Stooges, the firmer the terror, the better I like it.
There you go. Okay. How do you like this move by General Motors to put Mary Barra? And by the way, folks, just so you know, she's been with General Motors for 33 years, so it's not like this would be stunt casting where, hey, look at all the other companies that are naming women as the chief CEOs or the president of the company, like Yahoo and IBM and Hewlett-Packard and General Dynamics and Lockheed Martin all now have women that are running, you know, defense contracting companies. What do you make of this move by General Motors to put Mary Barra in as the CEO?
Well, I think it's great, and as another executive there, I mean, as you point out, this is hardly stunt casting because she's been with the company since she's 19. Her father was a die maker with Pontiac for 39 years. This is in her blood, and she has an engineering degree from Kettering University in Michigan and a master's in business administration from Stanford. So this woman has headed, you know, global product development and started as an intern on the floor and worked in human research. She's worked in every aspect of this and certainly has been at the forefront of their later models that have been praised since the bailout. And so I think that this is a great move on their part to put somebody who actually understands that the product is what's important. The rest of all the hoo-ha doesn't matter if your product isn't working properly. And that's where her focus is going to be. But, you know, before we get into the weeds of this, I wanted to read you a couple of statistics, because you mentioned that now we have all these women CEOs. This is still a great minority. And, you know, Crain's New York Business just wrote an article saying that women made no gains in Fortune 500 companies. They hold only 14.6 executive positions, and I think it's 8.1 of the top earning positions. So that's a great minority. And here's the other thing to juxtapose with that, Jerry. According to Catalyst and their most recent study, the bottom line is corporate performance and women's representation on the board. When women are on the board, the company, the bottom line, does better. Return on equity, places, this is all places where women are on the boards more than places where they're not. So return on equity is up by 53%. Return on sales, 42% over places where there are no women on board, and return on invested capital, the increase is 66% where you have women on boards as opposed to places where you do not.
Those are good numbers, plus 50, yeah.
You know, clearly that's a fantastic trend, and it's something that I've long maintained. It doesn't really matter who gives a crap, who's inventing the widget, who cares where the idea is coming from. Because if you are at a place of 100% productivity and you invite women to the table and a woman's coming up with a great idea or is helping people to work together better, it's going to put money in the man's pocket as well as the woman's pocket.
Right. But if you have 100% women on the board of directors and 100% women running the company, then you got The View, and that's unwatchable.
Oh, no. You're just so nasty. And by the way, I do not watch The View.
I don't either. I can't.
I don't watch The View.
I watch Ellen. Do you watch Ellen? Do you like Ellen?
I love Ellen. You know why?
I love Ellen, too. I'm not supposed to say that because I'm a man. I'm heterosexual. I'm a former Republican, now independent, and I'm not supposed to like Ellen. But she's on when we're on the air live. So I DVR Ellen, and my friends think I've completely lost my marbles.
No, no. I'll tell you why you like her. You want to know why you like her?
Tell
me. You like her because she dances with the audience. So there's a great, she has a, just a great joy of spirit, number one. And she's willing to have everybody on the air. You know, I think that she's willing to entertain just a great diversity of guests. And, of course, she's my favorite simply because I remember in 2008 when Hillary was running, she decided, Oprah Winfrey decided that Barack Obama was the one. And even though she came to prominence on the backs of women, one could argue, she didn't even allow Hillary on her show. Whereas Ellen had everybody on the show. It's like, you know what? You want to make it a free-for-all and let the audience decide who they like.
And they laugh. The audience laughs. They have a good time. They leave Ellen's show feeling better than when they got there.
Bingo.
Right?
Bingo. Absolutely.
That's why I can't watch Fox or MSNBC. I turn that stuff on, and I'm going, I want to Elvis my TV. I just want to get a shotgun out, and I just want to blow my TV to smithereens so I don't have to listen to people screaming at each other.
Well, you know, look, we see increasingly by the fact that the numbers, I can't say that Fox's numbers are going down, but the numbers on a number of the, you know, the screamers.
They are.
Less people are watching this, and I think more people are tuning in. You know, they're looking at epic times. They're looking at the 80% in the middle. They want to hear and see people who are willing to work together and have some sort of an intelligent solution or just an intelligent idea to share. The bomb throwers, I think that more people wind up tuning them out simply because the more stressful the economy is and becomes, who has patience for that? You have enough stress in your own day that you want to turn that on and listen to people, you know.
Well, those are people.
Echo chamber.
I think those people that watch that constantly all day long are just obviously shopping confirmation bias. But I have a question as to what their belief system is and how deep it runs. Because if you need to be validated in your belief that often, that many times a day, that many days a week, then I would have to say that maybe the belief structures that you hold and the principles that you supposedly abide by and live your life by might not necessarily be rooted in a very strong foundation.
Brilliant. That's a brilliant point. And, you know, I think that...
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Did you hear that? Anita Finley said it's brilliant. Flag the tape.
Anita Finley thinks I'm brilliant.
Flag the tape, Jose. We're going to put that in tomorrow's opening. Brilliant.
But don't you think... Listen, if you believe in what you bring to the table, you do not feel... You don't need to feel big by making others feel small. If you are sure in your beliefs, you are very comfortable debating the other side with somebody else. You don't also, you don't feel, and that was my point with Oprah too, if she was so sure that he was the one, then why wouldn't you feel equally confident that your audience surely would come to the same conclusion you would, even if they saw both sides of the equation? So I think that, you know, the more sure somebody is of who they are, the more comfortable they are with allowing others to the table. And surely, you know, that's the same thing with, you know, having equity in the boardroom. Look, as you know, I'm not a fan of gender norming. I think that I just want to see the best person win. Right. So if you allow the best ideas to the table, I think that will balance itself out. My position is just not to have an exclusionary, you know, an exclusionary tactic or method of thinking about who's allowed to be in charge. And I saw another article today that I thought was very interesting about Marissa Meyer, who is the head of Yahoo. And bear in mind that even though we do have some prominent ladies as CEOs now, it's still a great minority. There's already a critical article. Well, she's got him in a holding pattern, and it's sort of a celebrity appointment, but she hasn't been able to turn the company around yet in her big whooping year and a half that she's been there.
Right.
And I would put it to you that men do not get that same kind of scrutiny. I mean, Jamie Dimon over at Chase, you know, has been head of the place for quite a while, and when they lost $4 billion, the woman got the axe. You know, he didn't.
Yeah. And they just paid a $13 billion fine, and nobody seems to be going, well, it's just a cost of doing business. Do you think if there was a woman CEO heading up JP Morgan that she would be judged more harshly?
She'd be out.
She'd be out.
Out. Absolutely out. Absolutely. There is no question. This is I'm so glad we're talking about this, because this is the other thing that we really have to be aware of. There have been, as I said, no gains in Fortune 500 and women moving forward. So while I think the appointment of Mary Barra is excellent, and I love the fact that they're appointing an engineer. They're appointing somebody who knows the guts and grit of the company. That's a smart move in itself, whether it's a woman, a man, or a Martian. Who cares? But beyond that, now there is a current zeitgeist going on with the probable appointment of Janet Yellen as the first female Fed chair. And now with all the Hillary Clinton news coverage, will she, won't she run, blah, 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 that they're dangling the carrot of the possibility of the first female president. But just from my, 30-plus years in the workplace doing a lot of different things, my experience is, there's still, unfortunately, an attitude out there of gosh darn women drivers, so that if you
Well, there's a reason there's stereotypes, Anita. It's because they're true.
Stop.
You've never driven near my mom.
Yeah, but you know what? This is not the conservative view, what you're putting forth, Jerry. Because the conservative view is no cookie cutter. One size does not fit all.
True.
Therefore, all women do not drive alike. All men. The first time I drove in L.A., you know what I saw? A man driver driving across Bundy, and he had a popcorn bag over his entire head while he went through the intersection.
Nice. I saw a woman on... I know, you're out in the valley. I saw a woman, I was going to the set one morning, it was about 6 a.m., of course, bumper-to-bumper traffic on the 101 in L.A., and there was a gal that was driving her car while playing the violin with sheet music taped to the steering wheel and steering with her knees.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
I kid you not, it was 0600, I was heading over to Warner Brothers, and I'm like... Oh my God! I've seen people eat. I've seen those yappy little dogs on people's laps. I've seen people talking on the phone. I had never seen someone playing a violin at 6 o'clock in the morning, driving with her knees. I thought it was phenomenal, and
well,
I couldn't really hear her.
Prepared when she gets on the air. Look at it that way.
I'm telling you, man. Hey, by the way, Anita Finley's with us, author, actress, blogger, EpicTimes.com contributor, and a really cool chick. Her book is Dirty Words on Clean Skin. Congrats on the book, spending 16 weeks in the number one position on Amazon's Women in Politics list. Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, all major book retailers. With regard to the number of women that fill seats on boards of directors, the number's about 17%, right? Okay, so.
Let's
call it 15 then. I'll give you the round down.
Sure.
You were giving me the number on profitability, plus 53%. On other numbers, plus 42%. Other numbers, plus 61%, where women were either in charge of the company or well-represented on Mahogany Row or on the board of directors. Now, maybe, just maybe, that we've got the right mix. Maybe we don't need as many women to have a positive effect as we do guys to have a negative effect. You know what I mean? Maybe this is the mix. Maybe it is 83-17 or 85-15.
That's the frightening thing I've ever heard. Now, Jerry, this is so funny. This
quotas.
I today is our 28th conversation. I've been keeping track. And this is the first time that we're having a knockdown, drag-out battle of the sexes on the air. It's hilarious. I love it.
But maybe, on a plane, let's say like a 747 is 424 passengers, but there's only two pilots. You don't need 424 pilots to fly the plane. You need two, and you need actually four if you go into Australia because of duty time. But that's the right mix. And maybe women have a much more calming effect, maybe have a much more, a much greater influence on the decision-making. Maybe it puts the guys on better behavior. You know what I mean?
Even if there's less of them?
No, even if there's less of them, yes.
Here's the argument or the counter to that argument. I have a pal who is on the executive board with a financial company and financial investment company, and she has long been the only woman in the room. She happens to be, she's in her 50s, she's attractive, she's blonde, she's a super genius, and to this day she suggests some great idea in there and they act like somebody passed wind. The guy 5 minutes later says the same darn thing. Oh, that was brilliant.
Right.
I'm tired of it. Sorry, Jerry.
You're tired of them stealing all the good ideas. I got one last question for you. Now, Mary Barra is now going to be the CEO of General Motors. Now, General Motors is not hitting on all cylinders like the car tie-in there, Anita. General Motors is not hitting on all cylinders, especially in Europe. They put a lot of money into the Chevy Volt, that electric supposed car, electric car, that is going absolutely nowhere. Do you think that she's going to be judged harsher in those areas than the guy she replaced who just left?
Historically, the trend is that women get appointed to the board or to head up whatever the company is when the company is in trouble or in need of a turnaround, and they get a shorter time to do it. If they're able to do it, fine, and if they're not, then they're out. So that is the historical fact of what, you know, what the numbers have proven to us. So do I think that she may get judged harsher? Likelihood, yes.
Oh, so now if I'm using my intuitive senses here, Anita, and trying to find an advantage in the stock market, if historically when a woman has been named the head of a company and the company runs into troubles, that would then equate into a depreciating valuation of the company, which would mean a lower stock price. So should I short GM? Now that
short,
Mary,
no, I don't know if I'm being understood correctly. What I'm saying is, when the company is already in trouble,
right,
that's when they tend to appoint the woman.
Right, and then it gets worse, right?
Nope, not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
No, that's
okay.
Not what I'm saying. What I'm saying
right.
is, if she is able to turn the company around that was in trouble when she got there, then that's great. But if she's not, in other words, if it were a man, he would be given a longer.
I got it. Longer leash.
Rope. Do you know what I mean? He would be given an easier time of it and not be held to the same high standard. That's the point that we still look at. That's what I meant when I said, gosh darn women drivers, that what we're looking at is a narrower scope. We get a narrow window of opportunity, and that is still
right.
the way it is in business.
Well, like I get back to my mom. She says to me, I've never been in an accident. I go, no, but you've caused 1,000. You never look out behind at the carnage you've done as you traverse the roads.
I've never had so much as a speeding ticket, darling. But when I was on
really?
The road just driving home to you to get on the radio with you, some guy is texting and almost drove into my lane.
You called me darling. That's sexual harassment.
Huh?
You call me darling. That's sexual harassment.
I did?
Yeah, you call darling. And Dr. Barbara Kellerman, out of Connecticut, she calls me honey whenever she's on the program.
Oh,
I'm starting to feel a little beat up here.
That is so cute. Jerry, you know I adore you. You know that from the moon and back and beyond again. But I tell you, today was the first battle of the sexes we ever had.
It was a battle I enjoyed, and I look forward to doing again. Check out Anita Finley's book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, all major book retailers, and her contributions as a contributor to the digital home of the Jerry Doyle Show, EpicTimes.com. Thanks, Anita.
Jerry, thank you so much. Have a great evening.
You too. Thanks. Stick with us. We'll be right back.